Turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans 14. Romans 14 is where we're going to spend our time. So if you have your Bibles, do that, or in your devices. It won't be news that life has changed a bit since March 2020. I don't know if things will ever be the same. I just don't know. Maybe things will get similar, but I think our world's going to see different changes. None of us has ever been through this kind of thing before, this last 14, 15 months. I haven't. And there's been many opinions on how to deal with and how to navigate through the coronavirus, what to do, what not to do, what churches should do, what churches should not do. And now it would seem like it would get less complicated with people getting vaccinated. It's actually, in a way, getting more complicated. Because now there's another question. Will some get vaccinated? Will some not? It can get very, very contentious. You can see in our nation the contention that there's such intense divide around the pandemic. And not just the pandemic, but more political and racial divide than I've seen since the 60s. And yes, I was alive in the late 60s. I was little, but I remember. And I do remember turning on the TV and seeing the news releases of the riots and just the struggle, and especially being so close to Oakland where a lot of the things occurred, and in Berkeley. I've never experienced myself this kind of venom in the culture with all of those things colliding at the same time. For Christians, you would think that we could at least lean on the scriptures. And just, it'd be easy, right? Let's just turn to chapter and verse, and that's what we do. That's perfect. That's easy. But have you found lately that you can't go to a chapter and verse and say, this is what you do when you face a global pandemic? It's just not there. I've searched. I'm sure you have. It doesn't exist. And if we're not careful, we can fall prey to a very, very real satanic strategy and scheme. And that is to use these things to bring division in the church of God. There is nothing that God desires so greatly than the unity of his people. Jesus prayed that in John chapter 17. Powerful, brilliant prayer. And the gist of that prayer is, Father, let my people be one, and let them be one with you as we are one. The unity of the body is God's desire. And I'm sad to say that I've seen churches split and be destroyed over a lot less than this. I've seen churches split and destroyed over the color of the decorations inside. We can split over easy and simple things. This one truly is a challenge. So in the absence of biblical mandates, what do? Well, we're guided then by biblical principles. Here's what I know. Where there is no direct biblical command, there is always a biblical principle that we can follow. God has not left stones unturned. God didn't somehow get surprised and go, dang it. I wonder if God says, dang it. I don't know. But I didn't think of that. I missed that one. That pandemic thing kind of caught me totally off guard, and I forgot to write something to those people. Now, God's not surprised by any of this stuff. God knows, God knew, and God gives us principles so that we as mature human beings can follow those and then arrive at the right conclusions. Before the county and before things started to open up and the vaccine was available, it was kind of easy to be kind of us and them with the state and the county. But now that there's opening and more opportunity to come, now it gets a little more tricky because there are more decisions to make. And there are more options to investigate. And I know we've all felt it. Who are the people I feel safe around? Who are the people I don't feel safe around? Who are the people I'm comfortable with? Who are the people I can trust? Who are the people I cannot trust? And that occurs even in the body of Christ. Well, there are some of those, and I don't feel comfortable with those. Well, they think like that, and I don't feel comfortable with that way of thinking. And so it very, very easily can create division where God has not given us some very, very concrete things to do. So we go to God's Word, we find principles, and we learn how to apply those principles to bring real conviction inside of our hearts. The thing is that not all of us arrive at the same convictions. and therefore it remains dicey. Here is the one mandate. If there is a mandate, here is the one mandate. The one command, love one another. There are principles that we can find for the other stuff, but here's the command, love each other. Whether they think like you or not, whether they've made decisions that you would make or not, love one another. Love is truly the answer to the unanswerable questions. When all else fails, when there is no clear direction, love one another. And that's where we arrive at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 deals with disputable matters. It opens with that phrase, disputable matters. And a disputable matter is one of those things where there isn't a clear-cut command. Therefore, it becomes disputable. Well, one thinks this way, the other thinks that way. And they don't agree that the way that they think is the same as the others, and they think the other people are wrong. And so they have a dispute over that. There isn't a do or do not do. Remember, the Roman church was a mixture church. There were Jews there, and there were Gentiles. And they had two very different ways of looking at religion and how to follow Christ and the law. Specifically in Romans 14, some of the people thought that it was just absolutely egregious that you would eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Because why would you even want to get close to that? Why would you even want to dabble there? Idol worship is one of the Big Ten. Don't worship idols, and anything else that would be used to worship idols can't be good. Stay away from that. It's the law. And if you do, you are sinning. Where others thought, why waste a good steak? What's the problem with that? I mean, the idols aren't even real, remember? They're wood and stone. They're not real. Why waste the meat? Let's have some. And you get the dispute. And then they would try to kind of force their will on the other group. There are other things like special holidays where some thought there were certain days that you had to act certain ways on. Sabbath days and special celebrations. And those are mainly the Jew law followers. And those days were special. But the other side said, well, why are those days special? Why aren't we praising God every day? Why don't we celebrate and enjoy? And so there's these disputes that were in the body of Christ. Now, I understand that the coronavirus isn't the same apples and apples as what's occurring in Romans 14. I get that. But the principles remain, and the principles are the same. How did Paul guide the people? How did he teach them about their disputable matters so that they could remain unified? It's the same lessons that we're going to go through today, so that even though we still may remain at the end of the service, no, not we still may, we will remain in some disagreement. The one thing we must agree on and then obey is love one another. And that's what Paul taught the Roman church. So what did he teach them? Number one, Paul taught them that unity, not uniformity, is the goal. Unity, not uniformity, is the goal. When it comes to disputable matters, the goal is not to think alike. Now, you might want to feel like you want to sway people to think like you, and I understand that. Where like thinking happens, it's more comfortable, isn't it? When you get around people that agree with you, you let your guard down. It's just, oh, this feels good. It's comfortable. But when you're around people that don't think like you, you're just hoping and praying that subject won't come up. Because then there'll be contention. There'll be this stress that comes into your life. So remember, the ultimate goal of God and the ultimate goal that Paul is teaching in Romans 14 is not that you all think alike, but that you all love alike. That you all seek to have unity, not uniformity. It says in verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Make every effort to do the things that will keep us unified. Make every effort to do the things that will build each other up. That's the goal. The guiding principles of this statement are crucial. What we are striving for is not to be right, but to build each other up and live in peace. We have different convictions, but there's something bigger than that. And that's the unity of the body. So, what does that look like? Number one, or first bullet point, it's okay to disagree on things that are not biblically clear. Okay, it's okay. So for those that think differently about anything, but especially about COVID-19 and how to deal with that, it's okay to have different opinions. It's okay to have different convictions. The person that is across that opinion aisle from you isn't the devil. Because I guarantee you, if they're thinking the same way that if you were, they're thinking you're the devil. And you look in the mirror and you're like, I'm not the devil. But we can get that contention. It's okay to have different views. I don't need to make you like me. And I don't mean like me like, oh, I like him. I mean to be similar to me. I don't need to make you a carbon copy. I don't even want you to think like me. We'll get to that in a moment. But I do need to figure out how to love you when we're different. And you need to figure out how to love me when we're different. I need to make sure that I don't begin to place a value on you or separate myself from you because you think differently on certain things. And we do that inside the church and outside the church. And we form camps and they begin to be erected in thoughts and in values. And pretty soon there's schisms because there's this little clique and that little clique and this little camp and that little camp. And we find ourselves dividing in the body of Christ, and it's damaging and it destroys His image. In my heart, I give you permission to think differently, and I expect that you give me permission to think differently. And you're still going to love me, and I'm still going to love you. That's the body of Christ. Next one, disagreement handled in love often enhances the desired outcome. Most of us hate conflict. I want to say this right now. If you like conflict, you need therapy. You really do. Conflict is just hard and it's uncomfortable and nobody likes it. And we want to just avoid it at all costs. But conflict, when dealt with in love, is really, really helpful. It's really beneficial, especially when you're working on something together. In our staff, in our group efforts, I try to avoid telling the group what I think right away. Because when pastor says it, everybody kind of thinks like they have to fall in line then. And I don't want that. What I want to hear is what everybody else in the room has to say. And hopefully, it's different than what I think. Hopefully. Because I start to understand that there are different viewpoints. The more viewpoints that we have, the more clarity we have on the bigger picture. And you've experienced this before. I know you have. In business and in group efforts. And even back to high school when you had to do group reports. I hated group reports. But we start to see a different viewpoint and a different idea and a different way of handling things. Some of you know this, some of you don't know this, that I have a group of people that meets every week and they help me write these messages. So if there's something I say today that you don't like, it was them. All the stuff you like, that was my idea. No, usually it's the opposite. But we have people in the group that are older Christians, younger Christians, male, female, older in age, younger in age, and with different ideas. And some of those conversations are really exciting because they don't agree. And it's just this boom, 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 back and forth. But at the end of the meeting, we love each other. We're arriving at a bigger picture. And I then have a better idea because I only think like me. And I don't think right all the time. And that's even the wrong way to say that. I don't think complete. Because I got my own personal blinders on. And the other people begin to peel those blinders off and say, but I think, but I've experienced, but this is what I've felt. I never even gave that a thought. Well, this is awesome because now I can broaden my idea and present to the church something that's broader and that's more understood. You see, the conflict is good. Different ideas are good. when handled in love, and they can enhance the desired outcome. Of course, we cannot handle them in love, and we can divide. Uniformity weakens a group because they only see one side of the issue. Some of you have read the great book, Team of Rivals. It's a fantastic book on President Lincoln and how he managed his cabinet in those Civil War years. And the year he was elected, 1960, the war began. That war to divide our nation. And President Lincoln could have easily just got a lot of people around him who thought exactly the way he did. But he knew that there's a broader, bigger United States out there that needed to stay unified. And he needed to hear from people who thought differently. So he gathered folks around him, and he needed to know what the southern states felt like and what the northern people thought like. And it was contentious. And they didn't always like each other. And though we maybe look back and think President Lincoln was so amazing, I guarantee you in my study of history, there was a huge amount of people who thought he was the dumbest man on the planet. He was foolish, ridiculous, arrogant. They just hated this guy. But he knew that the way to preserve the unity is to not have uniformity, but instead, in love, to work together in order to see a bigger picture. This is what makes me so nervous and so afraid of today's cancel culture. Because today's cancel culture refuses to acknowledge that there is another view and possibly learn from that view. And it's on both sides of the political aisle. As soon as we get to a place where you say, you think different from me, you must be muzzled, we've just cut our own throat. Because we've lost the ability to learn. Now remember, I'm talking about disputable matters. I'm not talking about make allowances for things that God has absolutely condemned or God has absolutely said we should do. You understand the difference, right? It's very important that we do. So we strive for unity, not uniformity. Number two, how can we do this then? What does this look like? How can we be unified when we don't agree? We have to know, back to number one, the goal is not to be right, but the goal is to be together. I want to tell you with a great amount of appreciation that your church board, your deacons, and your church elderships, we function by this principle. We do not move forward unless we move forward unified. That does not mean that we always agree. What that means is we've learned to prefer each other. And that if we ever have votes where there's, well, three want this and four want that, and we're just going to vote and too bad, then we know we've weakened ourselves. But that we wait on each other. And we wait till we find this place of mutual ground, and then we move strongly together. So Abundant Life people, I want to tell you, you've got strong leadership. Because they strive for unity. Scripture says in Romans 14, verse 13 says this, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your own mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. So don't judge and don't cause the other person to fall. How do we do that? Number one, or first bullet point, recognize where the Bible is silent, there is no absolute right. And I'm not talking about gravity, mathematics. I'm talking about living principles. You get that, right? The Bible is silent, doesn't give us an absolute command. God has trusted us and given us His Holy Spirit that we can learn to prefer each other, learn not to judge each other, and learn not to place stumbling blocks on each other and look down upon one another. It starts with that attitude. You might think you are absolutely 100% right, and you cannot even fathom why the other person thinks the way they do. I guarantee you, they're thinking that same thing about you. That's the way it works. That's why it's disputable. To maintain that there is one right way is not helpful because we don't even know what we're doing. We don't even know all the facts. We don't even know really much of anything. And I'm not talking just about Corona. I'm talking about so many disputable matters. Love must rule that day. There is no absolute right when the Bible is silent on these types of things. The second bullet, avoid looking down upon someone or judging someone who holds a different view. It's pretty simple, isn't it? What we immediately do is, they think different, jerks. What are they thinking? They must not know anything about anything. When they might be incredibly brilliant on everything, is they just think different than you on one thing. And we do that all the time. We throw out the total baby with the bathwater when it comes to disagreements. What makes your way more important than theirs? Yeah, you have your opinion. You have your convictions. Pastor, I prayed about this. I know what's right. Really? And they haven't. They've not prayed about it, and they must just be, you know, carnal and not listening to the Spirit, because if they were, of course they'd agree with you. That's what makes it disputeful. Every person, you don't think alike like, is thinking the same way looking back at you. So who are we to look down on someone? Rather, seems to be a bit more wise to learn from each other. Third bullet, accept each other as brothers and sisters of our one Father and Lord. It's really, really painful to watch churches split and divide and to become hateful toward each other. And they got the same Father. I'll tell you this, I grew up in a home where my brother and sister, we fought, especially my brother and I. Oh man, we got after each other. Praise God I was the oldest. Because that means I usually got the better of it. We don't fight anymore because he's bigger than me now. That's wisdom. If you can beat him, fight. If you can't, run. So in my family, because of that, Sandra and I just made the early... There will be no fighting in our home. You will not fight with each other. If one of you strikes another one, there's going to be some striking. Because I love them all. I love all three of them with a passion. How could I tolerate one hurting the other? How could God tolerate one of his beloved that he died for hurting the other? And speaking lowly or with anger or with ugliness about someone he loves. We have to view the other person as someone that God loves. We have the same Father. Next bullet, do not attempt to force another to behave against their conscience. That's what stumbling block means. It means you want to either behave in a way that if the person sees that they'd become very, very upset and it would cause them to struggle in their faith, or to try to sway them to your way against their conscience. Now, discussions are okay. Discussions are helpful. Having conversation is okay. Having conversation is helpful. But we must be sensitive to where the other person is and not try to sway them against their conscience. But to leave room for the Holy Spirit to work. And you just might find out he may change you, not them. Remember, these are disputable matters. So sharing is all right. And the ultimate goal, ultimate end is not whether something is practiced or avoided, but do we love each other? If you get in a conversation, that person comes over to your way of thinking against their will, that doesn't necessarily mean you've succeeded. You might feel like it. Oh, I won them over. They think like me now. Well, now you both might be messed up. The goal is to be unified. The goal is to be able to say, I love you. You're my brother. You're my sister. We don't think alike on everything. But I want you to know, no matter what, I got your back. No matter what, you need me, I'm there. No matter what, I'll be praying for you. No matter what, we are a cord of many strands that is not easily broken. That's what we strive for. Because we're always going to be different. And the difference are even helpful. So last, what are some real ways to retain unity? We're going to get down into the weeds right now. Because I know we struggle. Everybody struggles. What should we do? Should we mask? Should we not mask? What about if they got vaccine? They didn't get vaccine. I'm not sure what to do. And on June 13th, we're going to have kind of a grand opening. As you know, more and more people are coming. If you're online, you can't really see the group. But there's more and more people sitting in the sanctuary today. And there's some outside. On the 13th, we're going to kind of have a grand opening, even though we've already been open. And we're just going to have a party. We're going to have great food and we're going to have stuff on the lawn. It's going to be fun. And just kind of a set a date of, okay, we're back now. But I know this, that not all of you are going to be comfortable with that. You're not all going to be, you're not all going to feel safe about that. And I want to give you permission to be okay. Not okay to come, but be okay with your convictions. Let me walk through some things with you. I just want to start by saying this, and this will test your love. I'm not vaccinated. I knew there was a murmur. I thought there would be. I actually expected more, so you let me down a little bit. I expected a collective, but it was a little less. I kind of thought that would come too. And I don't plan on it. I have personal reasons. Just like you have personal convictions, I have personal convictions. And those personal convictions are not because I'm anti-vaccine. I've taken many vaccines. I've traveled all over the world, and you got to go all over the world. If you do that, you got to take a vaccine because there's a different culture and different bugs and things like that. I am not unvaccinated because I think the pandemic is a hoax. I'm not on that side. It's very serious. People have lost their lives by the thousands. People's families have been destroyed. It's very real. And my wife and I practice precautions. I also do not think that this pandemic and the vaccine are 666. No, just as I've looked at all the stuff out there, have made a decision and a conviction. And I know that there are some who think like that. There are others who think I'm completely nuts. And now we have to figure out how to get along and how to make this all work. So let me give you some of the scriptures and some of the points. First point, whether someone feels safe or unsafe around people, has been vaccinated or has not been vaccinated, we must respect their decisions based on their clear conscience before the Lord. Romans 14:5 says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. If you're fully convinced that you should be vaccinated, I respect you. That's your choice. And I will love you and defend you because of your conscience and that decision. And I would expect the same back from you. It may mean that because of those decisions that there might be some difference in how we interact. And that's okay. I'm comfortable with that. I would rather work with you than be opposed to you. If you don't feel comfortable returning on the 13th, you will not be judged. Because I know there are some right now that are online that just are not comfortable. They're nervous for their personal reasons. They have extra safeguards in their life. And you are not judged, folks that are home. Now, if you're just in your PJs, sitting on the couch, drinking your coffee, and didn't feel like it, I'm judging the daylights out of you. Just kidding. Just kidding. Sort of kidding. No. If we choose to come together because of our convictions, praise God. But no one should judge someone who's chosen that they're still not yet ready because of their convictions. And we should praise God. You follow me? It's important. If you're still feeling unsafe, our groups in common online are awesome. Sandra and my group in common have met now for over a year, and we've not one time met all together live. But we have a powerful bond. We love each other. We met one time last summer, about half of us out on the lawn, sitting far apart, because that was the level of comfort that the group had at that time. And it was okay. We don't judge each other, and neither should anybody else in the body of Christ. Second bullet, if someone asks you if you're uncomfortable not wearing a mask or reducing distance, feel free to tell the truth without fear of being judged. Romans 14:1 says, accept him whose faith is, and I put different. It says weaker, but in this particular case, it's not about stronger or weaker, it's different. So accept him whose faith is different without passing judgment on disputable matters. In other words, can we be comfortable with learning to ask questions? Can we be comfortable with saying, hey, are you okay with this? How are you feeling? And not with a judgmental goal in that question, but with an honest desire to learn. So therefore, then, you can behave in love toward them where their conscience lies. Sandra and I were just at a small gathering at a person's home where three of us were not vaccinated. Two of the people were vaccinated. And in that greeting time, it was kind of interesting that one of the people who was vaccinated was okay with having, you know, a kind of a side hug greeting. The other person was like, no, no, fist bump is about all I'll do. And what was neat about it is that everybody was clearly communicating where their lines were. Once that was communicated, we all understood where we were. And then we could function and have a really, really pleasant evening without confusion. And there was no judgment. Because who am I to say that you should be comfortable or uncomfortable? It's your conviction, not mine. If someone is really nervous, even after we've had these rules that say now we can unmask in a lot of places, that doesn't mean everybody's going to be comfortable with that. And so we ought to prefer each other. 99% of the time, except when I have maybe a slip of my brain, when I'm around groups of people, I mask. Because I don't know what everybody's feeling. And so I'd rather take the more cautious road rather than cause someone else to be disturbed by my behavior. So it's okay to ask. It's okay to let each other know. And it's okay to do that without having fear that you're going to be looked down upon. No one should fear that in this church. Because that's not what we do. Lifers love each other. And lifers love the world. And lifers understand that people have different views. So therefore, we love each other with those in place. The last bullet says, many potentially uncomfortable scenarios will arise between vaccinated people, unvaccinated people. So make every effort to prefer one another without forcing your will upon them. Romans 14:13 says, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. We realize that there will be differences, but make every effort to prefer each other in love. Don't even think that, oh, I hope nothing happens. It will. Okay? It just will. There are going to be the uncomfortable moments. We've got to learn then to rise above that. Let me just give you some quick scriptures to finish. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Galatians 5:13. Serve one another humbly in love. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. And we could go on and on and on and on. And there's not one scripture that says, strive to be right no matter what it costs. Not one. Romans 14:12 ends this talk this morning when I read, it says, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. I am not going to give an account for you. I'm going to give an account for me. You're not going to give an account for me, but only for you. You're going to stand before the Lord, and God is going to ask you, according to His word and your convictions about His word, how'd you do? So therefore, there's going to be different lines. Not on the absolutes of God, but on the disputable matters. So we must obey our consciences, or else we'll actually be judged by violating our own conscience as the Holy Spirit and we work together. I want to stand before the Lord with honesty and purity and say, God, I stood by the convictions that I felt you placed in my heart, and I honored those who had different convictions than I did, trusting that they heard from you as well. And when it came to the bottom line, we loved each other. And I think God will say, well done, when we behave that way. So church, let's live in unity in these divisive times. Mostly because if we don't, what kind of light is there to show the world? I'm not so sure it's very bright. if it's divided. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. God, this is Family Talk Day. And I pray in Jesus' name that we've all taken your word to heart to be able to prefer one another when we think differently, to accept one another, even if during this very strange time, even if we would have to excuse someone for being close to us or from being close to us because they're not quite safe or feeling safe, to not look down upon each other, but to be okay with that. God, help us to be sensitive and courteous and polite to each other, lest we damage one another and we cause someone to stumble. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that Abundant Life will be a place that is known for its love. I think we are. But more and more, Lord, I pray, especially in these times, let us be a church that is loving, that is not judgmental, that does not look down on each other, but we accept each other with our differences, and that's what makes us strong. Thank you, God, for that. I give you the praise. In Jesus' name, and all of God's undivided but different people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, okay. Apparently the text went out that there is Zoom prayer following the message. There isn't. If you try to Zoom in, you'll be by yourself. But we are having prayer in the house. Okay? So if you have a prayer need, the prayer partners will be available. And come and pray. God bless you. Love you. Let's go in unity as we do. Amen.